Hello, this is the FL72 podcast, Sam and Tom. If you missed the show this week, then this is why you're here, to download and listen to it. And Tom has promised for this week's podcast, because this is a first where we've actually got a sponsored advertisement to bring you, that he reckons he can do it and deliver it in a professional manner.
Professional manner, yes. This is it's Tom Connor from the FL72 podcast telling you you can get 8 incredible craft beers for only £14 with Beer 52. As a listener to one of our Radio Yorkshire podcasts, we've arranged an extra special.
You can insert
special
podcast there. You can say, you can make it sound a bit more exclusive to the FL72 listener.
As a listener to our FL72 podcast, we've arranged an extra special deal just for you. Beer 52 ship theme monthly boxes, if we could say the words, of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious, exclusive craft beers selected to your preferences. The award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack by using our code...
What's the code?
The code, by using our code, PROPER, all in capitals.
That doesn't matter, it can be...
It doesn't matter.
Lowercase or in capitals, just in capitals to emphasise that.
I'm reliably informed that proper at beer52.com. That's 8 exclusive hand-selected beer. This month, Sam, it's Norwegian craft beers. Very nice indeed. 100-page Ferment magazine, beer snack, free next-day delivery, so you're not going to wait either, and a flexible monthly subscription. All just £14 in your first month.
Excellent. Well done, Tom Carndorf. We can vouch for it because
they
sent it out. Next day delivery. It arrived. It was ice cold and it was very, very tasty.
Very,
so make sure beer52.com. We'll work on Tom for next week. But this is the podcast.
The FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL72. Sam and Tom with you for another week of Football League chat, where this week we shall be asking Tom, are Leeds United's playoff hopes over? Another slip-up at the weekend against Burton. We'll talk Sheffield Wednesday's fine form and Huddersfield being hammered by Fulham. Again, a 9-1 defeat on aggregate over the two games this season. I'm sure one to avoid in the playoffs. Town, of course, back in action tonight at Wolves. Rotherham, well, they've only gone and won, so we'll discuss that, giving Rotherham some much-needed airtime, some positivity at last. Elsewhere, Newcastle have secured promotion back to the Premier League in style, beating Preston 4-1 last night. We'll talk Leighton Orient, Ched Evans off to rejoin at Sheffield United, and Dave Jones, he's only gone and left Hartlepool after a rant from a TV presenter. Maybe Tom will have a rant today and get someone sacked. We'll find out on the FL72. We should actually point out that Dave Jones left, didn't he, because of old Jeff Stelling's rant. Did you see that weekend? Did you enjoy that?
I did, yeah. I was just watching. I never really watch soccer Saturday, to be honest, because I'm never really at home on a Saturday. And yeah, just
before... so popular.
Oh, well, I'm usually here, but I wasn't this weekend. So yeah, it was weird. Just before I went to classified, you could see it was maybe he's going to make a joke. No, it was proper
very
going for
man.
It.
Very
fair play
man.
To him, though. Fair play to him.
Fair play. I'm sure maybe Dave Jones doesn't see it like that. But
not my problem.
Yeah, that is football. We should move on and talk Yorkshire news, as we do as ever, Tom, to open the show.
Yes.
And that big question that we posed less than 60 seconds ago, are Leeds United playoff hopes over a defeat against Burton at the weekend? It's out of their hands.
It is.
Now, what is your gut feeling as a Leeds United man?
Well, the gut feeling's that Leeds aren't going to do it, of course. It's just a difficult situation at the moment, isn't it? It's just been a terrible run of form. Really, really hit a rocky patch. But it's not impossible, at least, you know, one result to go in their favour this weekend if they could beat Norwich, and they're well into it. I think I worked out the other day, the ideal scenario is if Wednesday lose away at Ipswich, which Newcastle have done recently, and Fulham slip up to a draw or, you know, drop points against Brentford, then Wednesday and Fulham can't exactly meet up on the last day of the season and go, oh, we'll take a draw, because it won't suit either of them. So Yeah, difficult scenario, but not over. It's not over. It's just looking incredibly unlikely at the moment.
Yeah, not over. And particularly when you're facing teams like Ipswich, like Sheffield Wednesday, going to Portman Road on Saturday. Ipswich, a funny team at the moment. They're on an incredible run of draws for a while.
Yes.
And then seem to pick up some form, beating Wigan at the start of April. They lost to Fulham, then they beat Burton and Newcastle as well. Then they go and lose to Rotherham.
Generous
four,
Mick.
5 months.
Thought we got nothing to play for. Give Rotherham a win. Mm. There we go. But yeah, it's always been one of those places that could be difficult to go to. But yeah, like I said, you know, it's one result. Even tonight, if Huddersfield lose against Wolves, Leeds know Wolves came here and beat them the other week. Even then, that's where maybe it could creep in a bit that, well, Huddersfield are there for the taking as well. Now they're on equal points. Of course, the scenario is if everyone wins this weekend, even if Leeds win, it's pretty much done. But again, they need to focus on themselves. If they can beat Norwich, it could well truly be on if one or two teams slip up. Even Reading, you know, they got battered with Norwich. That's really hammered their goal difference. Leeds do have a good goal difference, and if it is to go their way, they'll probably have the best goal difference in the playoffs bar Fulham, because they'll need Wednesday to obviously lose, slip up, etc. So yeah, it looks over at the moment, but if this weekend can maybe throw one or two results in their favour and they can beat Norwich, that's the most important thing. You never know. It's just unlikely at the moment.
Yeah, but then it's a Norwich side coming to town that are in decent form themselves.
Yes.
Just looking at the results in April, right? They lost to Huddersfield Town, but they then went and hammered Reading 7-1. They lost to Fulham. They put three past Preston and beat Brighton as well, of course, in their last game. So they're scoring goals and they look confident.
I think Leeds need to look at it as we've beaten them twice already this season. Okay, one of them was on penalties, probably one of the, you know, most enjoyable nights of Elland Road in a few years. But it was still a win, and they need to kind of take that mentality into it. They've got a fantastic away win it was at Carrow Road when they went down there. You know, it's not impossible. They just need to really turn it around. There's only two games left. It's probably going to be just two games, I think, realistically. They're a team they can beat. They can beat anyone, really, at Elland Road. Bar Newcastle, they've shown it this season. They need to get that mentality back. And again, if they hit 79 points, if they win their remaining two games, even if they miss out in the playoffs, you can look and go, OK, there's a disappointment of the, you know, what was a definitely secure position in the playoffs to missing out. But 79 points, that would usually do you any other season. And you've got to feel a bit unlucky in a way that you didn't get in. And then it's something to build on for next season. If Leeds, and this is a big if, they can be sensible and plan ahead to next season.
Indeed. Just on that form of the last 10 games, if we take it in that segment, 12 points, Leeds, is it 12? Yeah, 12 points they've gained from a possible 30.
Yes.
What's been the issue, do you feel, over the last 10? Is it just legs and size of squad?
Yeah, Leeds, really, they have probably one of the best starting 11s at that end of the division. Like, I do generally think they may not be the biggest names, but they play so well together as a team. So they probably have one of the best starting 11s. The issue is Leeds don't have one of the best squads at all. You know, we're talking about, we sat here debating the Pontus Janssen issue of, oh, should you take a yellow card here for the playoffs? Should you take a yellow card because of Wolves, whatever? And you shouldn't be having that. If Janssen got carded, you know, it doesn't matter now because Cooper's back, but for argument's sake, say he did get carded against Wolves, who would Leeds have? They'd be playing fullbacks at centre-back. Chris Wood hasn't been firing them in as much as we used to him doing. There's no one else really there that can push him, because Dakara's looked too often to come off the bench anyway and replace, you know, a winger, your attacking midfielders, whatever. So yeah, I think squad depth is going to be quite a big downfall for Leeds, and I think that's one area you've got to pinpoint in January and go, well, they had the chance to add. They really, you know, the only two things they really needed was another striker and another defender for cover, and it didn't happen. They brought in two wingers who haven't really done much, especially Barrow. I think he's, what, made a couple of appearances, not done anything, and then disappeared again. So yeah, the squad size, the squad depth has really been the downfall, I think, for Leeds this season.
In terms of the season on a whole, if Leeds were to finish seventh, as you said before, they do have plenty to build on, but they've still got those unanswered questions,
yes,
particularly one over Gary Monk, and obviously some of the players being on loan. Is that a concern at all for you?
I think if it was any other club, you'd go, yeah, it'll probably get sorted, but Leeds' track record in the past couple of seasons hasn't been the best for making decisions. You know, the worst case scenario is Monk goes. You've obviously got Janssen, who is attracting Premier League interest, as you'd imagine. Okay, there's the agreement there, but if a side's going to come in and offer £10 million, it's going to be enough to tempt him to go. Bartley, of course, is on loan. We don't know. If Swansea drop to the Championship, they're not going to loan him out again. There's no way he's going to be allowed to come back on loan. Charlie Taylor, of course, he could be leaving. Chris Wood, going to attract attention. Ronaldo Vieira as well, talented young midfielder. So there's a lot of interest, and Leeds really need to address these issues, because you know, if they tied it down, and if Leeds missed out, but in the summer they turn around and say, you know what, Janssen's saying, we can agree a deal for Bartley, and Monk's here for another 2 years, whatever. There's a lot of positivity. You really fancy Leeds to get promoted, but it's just the question marks. You don't know if who's going to be the manager, who's going to be the starting 11. It could be a completely new picture, like it has been for the past couple of seasons when it comes to August.
Yeah, and obviously with the change at the moment in terms of the ownership structure,
yes,
being what it is, potential for it to change further as well. So we've not really seen much of Mr. Radrazzani's plans for the club, but a little bit of insight today. Ivan Bravo, a former,
yes,
Real Madrid strategist, appointed to the club's board. Is that the kind of right steps that you want to be seeing for the club, people who have worked in Europe at huge football clubs?
Yeah, definitely. This is one that was kind of, I think it first came up at the start of December. The discussions were there. It popped up again in January, and it's gone kind of quiet since then. But I've seen people make the comment of, oh, it's a real mate's appointment by Radrazzani. Well, if his mate was, you know, someone who had no experience in a certain position, which has happened before at this club, where then you'd be going, all right, okay, that's bad. It's a mate's appointment. But it's his mate who's also worked for Real Madrid in a very good position. I don't think anyone can stroll in to Real Madrid, one of the top clubs in the world, if not the top club in the world, and just say, oh, give me this director job. Oh, yeah, there you go, you can have it. You must show some quality, some knowledge to be able to do that role. So you think, well, he's going to bring that to Leeds and, you know, maybe get Gareth Bale on loan in the process. So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Looking on the optimistic side, another optimist is Piers Jones on Facebook.
You, yes,
can join the conversation on Facebook tonight. He says, I really think we'll scrape the playoffs. Theoretically, Leeds can still come third, which is true.
Yeah.
It's fact.
It is. It'd be a big ask. Like, if all the top four want to just slip up, that'd be fantastic. But yeah, it's all to play for. And like I said, this weekend, if one or two results go in Leeds' favour, it's well on. It's well on.
He also asks, do you think O'Kane should have played more? Eddie Atkinson having his say, saying O'Kane over Phillips for him.
It depends, because it depends who we're playing. Where, especially that Wolves game, in the first half especially, we had one of the midfielders sitting back quite a lot, almost like a third defender. And when you're at home against a team who have nothing to play for, you can't really have that gap in midfield. And I think that was the problem. But I do like O'Kane, and I do like what I've seen of him. Probably the midfield is a bit of a luxury for Leeds, given the defence and the strikers that they pick themselves, that Leeds have a bit of choice, a bit of room to play around in this. And yeah, I think Bridcut's one that he can be superb at times, but he can also have the bad game, I think, as any player can. It's difficult to call. It's difficult to call what the mentality is going to be. It's got to be to win at Norwich, and I think maybe an O'Kane would suit that. But I do think Phillips has played well, well when he's come in.
Let's move on and discuss Huddersfield Town. We'll hear from David Wagner in a few moments' time. Good for them to be playing tonight against Wolves. It's their game in hand. They can end the night back third in the Championship, Huddersfield. But if we're saying about,
yes,
Leeds, who've got 12 points from a possible 30, just looking back over the 10 games, Huddersfield Town have got 13 points. They've won more games,
yes,
than Leeds, but they've also lost more as well. Is that a little bit of a concern, do you think, now for Huddersfield Town heading into the playoffs? They've got the three games left. They really need some momentum and a bit of consistency heading into a two-legged semi.
If they slip up tonight, there's going to be a bit of concern creeping in, because, of course, they win tonight, that's it, they're done, they're in. Great, you know, fantastic, remarkable achievement for them. Top two is always going to be a big ask, but to finish in the playoffs, they're really far ahead on this long-term plan, I think much quicker than they would have expected. The concern would be if they do meet Fulham. I know the playoffs are lottery, in a way. If you're playing a team over two legs who beat you 9-1 in the regular season, it's not like they've played each other within a couple of weeks. They've had a fair bit of time between the two games, and the pattern has been that Huddersfield got hammered in both. That's probably going to be your concern. If you meet Fulham again, there's an element of a lottery, but then there's also the element of, well, Fulham have kind of figured us out a bit. They know what to do. If that first half on Saturday happens again in the first half of your first leg, that's it, your tie's done. Your promotion's over, because you can't imagine Fulham slipping up from there in the remaining 120 minutes of football. Or 135 even. But I think that's probably the main concern. As to, you'd fancy them to give, you know, especially a Reading, you'd fancy them to beat them. Sheffield Wednesday would always be difficult, but Fulham is probably the psychological thing there that, you know, we've lost 9-1 to them already this season. It could be a repeat of it in the playoffs.
Huddersfield, they do concern me a little bit.
Yeah.
When they seem to get beat, at times they get beat hard, even in that 10-game spell, which we're talking about. So they got beat by Forest 2-0, 4-0 against Bristol City. Newcastle put three past them as well. So a tendency to concede, and it has really damaged their goal difference.
Yeah, definitely.
Reading have conceded a lot of goals as well. Obviously, they've been beaten heavily as well at times, particularly that game against Norwich. But only a plus two goal difference for Huddersfield, it's plus one for Reading, but I think for both clubs it tells a bit of a story.
Yeah, definitely, and you don't want to be having those goal difference at this time in the season, because like we said, if one or two results go in Leeds' favour this weekend, it's all back on. Especially if Huddersfield don't win tonight, their playoff position is up for grabs, and that's where the pressure starts to come in, that, well, if we slip up, Leeds are only 2-1 point behind us, whatever, and they have a superior goal difference, we have to go on the last day and beat them. And Reading have got two relegation candidates as well. Okay, Burton's going to be, you know, probably safe. But they've also got Wigan, who need to win their games. They need to. I just can't believe that we're talking about teams in the playoffs who have lost 5-0, 4-1, 7-1, as it happened the other week. They're pretty concerning. So I said, if that happens in the playoffs, your entire 46 games of work is done in 45, 90 minutes.
Indeed. Christian Lunt's been in touch on Facebook. If Huddersfield get into the playoffs, then I hope Leeds do as well. A much easier team to beat than Fulham. Do you think that Huddersfield will be looking at that and maybe preferring Leeds to get in?
I think you've got to look at it as, do you want to play a team that's hammered us 9-1 over the course of a season, or do you want to play a team that we beat twice? Okay, they've been close games. Very close games, very entertaining games as well. But I think that you'd probably prefer to play a Leeds who you know you can beat, because going back to it, I know I said it's a lottery, but you've lost 9-1 to a team who are in a similar position to you. You don't want to be meeting them, surely, over two legs where, you know, it could be a bit of random, could be a bit of luck. But if that happens again, you're going to be embarrassed at, you know, one of the biggest stages there is in English football. So yeah, I can understand that. I'd see why they probably would prefer to play Leeds if Leeds can sneak in.
Yeah, Philip Million, form goes out of the window in the playoffs in my eyes. It is a lottery. I don't know. I'm not too sure. If you look at last year, with Hull City.
Yeah.
I imagine, and my tip for the playoffs is Sheffield Wednesday for similar reasons.
Yeah.
The Hull last year that one they've got a bit more experience, a bit more quality probably than the rest, and that experience over the two legs and a final, I think, for Sheffield Wednesday now they've got some bigger game players in there. I think that's going to be key for them. Do you think that Sheffield Wednesday are they the team to fear for you if it stayed as it was now as a snapshot? Who's your favourite?
obviously Sheffield Wednesday, I know we say lottery, etc., but there is some element of form that's got to come into it. They're in fantastic form. The squad they've got is brilliant as well. They've spent big, really. Of course, you've got Rhodes as well, who's coming in. If obviously no one really knows the future, what's going to go on there if he does join on a permanent in the summer. They've got a good squad, but a squad as well, they haven't really changed much since that playoff campaign last season. Yeah, and then you've got Fulham as well. If those two can avoid each other till the final, I think we're in for a hell of a final. If Wednesday play Fulham at Wembley, it should be, you know, a real good kind of showcase piece for a team to get to the Premier League. But yeah, Wednesday probably just edge it for me, purely on the fact that they do have the experience. And it's a lot of the same players who did have that experience last year, where I think they were pretty unlucky that they didn't really show up at Wembley, because they were fantastic over the two legs against Brighton before it.
And 5 wins in a row now for Sheffield Wednesday. It's all come together, it seems, at the right time for Carlos Carvajal's team. A very good win at the weekend of a derby. Again, another side that have improved in recent weeks. They've hit a bit of a rocky patch now, but a good side on their day, obviously. But for Sheffield Wednesday, now that form for me is just looking really strong. I'm excited by the prospect of seeing Wednesday in the playoffs. Where do you think they'll finish? They obviously go into tonight's game the highest placed Yorkshire team. A win for Huddersfield would see them jump above. Do you think Wednesday could even finish as high as third?
Yeah, I can't see why not. They've got not really... I suppose it all depends this weekend, because Fulham, again, that could be, you know, a dress rehearsal for the playoff final that I really honestly couldn't call that, whether it be at Craven Cottage or whether it be at Hillsborough. I couldn't call who was going to win that. So, yeah, they've got every chance. If they can get a good result this weekend against Ipswich, which obviously will not work in Leeds United's favour, for example, which might be a bit of added incentive for them if they needed any others. But, yeah, very good side. And if they can finish third, I think that'll be fantastic, because I did see, you know, I think it was fair to say a minority, but some fans were turning on Carlos. A bit of a Carlos out brigade was coming, and he's kind of responded to him by going, well, I can get you a team that finishes third and a strong position for the playoffs.
Jack Morton's pulled you up. Jordan Rhodes is a permanent sign-in. Stephen Heath surprised even the Sheffield Wednesday getting a mention on this show. They know that Tom Carnduff is anti-Wednesday.
I've been tipping
them for weeks. I don't know where this comes from.
Where's this anti-Wednesday come from? What's going on here?
You're a Leeds boy, aren't you?
Yeah, but from a footballing aspect, I've literally just said
I'm sure you said a few so they weren't getting in.
Yeah, maybe.
Throw them off.
But well, someone had to drop out, didn't they? But I really fancy him for the playoffs, so there we go.
Joe Rawson has got in touch. Not sure who that guy is. Wednesday going up, lads, he says.
Ban him from the page.
I don't often agree with Joe Rawson, but I am still tipping Sheffield Wednesday to go up. What about tonight then for Huddersfield bringing it back to town? Do you think they can go to Wolves and get a win tonight?
Yeah, I think in terms of responding from the that defeat at the weekend, be quite good. And there's the added incentive they can secure a playoff position with. Kind of everyone's been in seventh, really, at some point. So, apart from Huddersfield. So it'd be good for them to get that win, to get the victory, to secure the playoff place and kind of not have to worry about the remaining two fixtures. Like I said, if they slip up tonight, they only get a point, they lose, you've got to think, well, they're going into the last two games on the back of a heavy defeat against a playoff rival, and then, you know, a game that they really should have won, or on paper they should have won, but they didn't, so the pressure will kind of be on them. But you'd expect them to get the win.
Fingers crossed. We'll hear from David Wagner right now. He's been speaking to Radio Yorkshire ahead of that game against Wolves this evening.
How big an achievement would it be, David, if you get that win and you do confirm your playoff place?
This is the same. Let's speak about and think about it when we've done it. But I think from the start of the season, everybody said that we are a surprising package. And if we can now make the prize to real reality, everybody knows what an unbelievable achievement this will be. But for this, at first, we have to collect the points.
Everyone, all the fans, are all getting excited as to who you might play in the playoffs. Can you give any thought to that at all? Is it what will be for you?
First of all, we have to make the step, and then we thought about it, and then we think about it.
They are doing well at the moment, and they're in good form. Does that make it... They've got nothing to play for, but they're clearly still playing very well. Does that make it easy for you to go there and know that they're going to come out and have a go at you?
Nothing to play for, to be fair. Derby had nothing to play for, and it was a tough place to go, and I expect a tough place tomorrow in Wolves as well. It's a good stadium, a lot of supporters, floodlights, so everything is prepared. We have a real target, a real aim. We have something what we play for. And Wolves as well, they play for 3 points. They will not give us any presence, I'm totally sure. We really have to come to our best if we like to be successful. And this is where we are focused on our performance, that we will come to our best. And then we don't have to look to the right or to the left or behind or in front of. Be only focused on what is tomorrow in front of us.
Is there any disappointment in the side that you haven't been able to keep up the pressure on Newcastle above you? Or?
No. The disappointment we had was after Saturday about our performance, that we gave unusually the goal so easy way. This wasn't what we usually do. Usually it is very, very difficult to be successful for us, against us, to score against us. For this you have to invest a lot. And we as well were very often able to handle when we scored the first goal. And this was what we on Saturday missed, and this was why we were disappointed after what we've done and what we've delivered on Saturday. And this is what we like to correct, but not because what is in front of us in the table.
How would you assess what your players have achieved so far, and what is your message to them for the rest of the season?
The achievement so far is incredible. It's unbelievable, and usually no one can find real explanations why we as a club and as a football team are in this position. We know the explanations. We did a lot of things right. We have an unbelievable squad together, a togetherness in a dressing room which you maybe only find once in your career, and this is the reason why this team overachieved and overperformed consistently, to be fair, because we are in the top six, I think, over the whole season, or maybe only one day we were not in the top six in this season. And this is unbelievable consistently overperformance which the players delivered so far. But now we like to bring this over the line, that we will have a few more games after the 7th of May.
We think the championship's must when we watch it. Well, this is your first full year, and how would you assess it?
Yeah, I've known it before my first year that the championship is mad. So the experience I had in the last season has shown me this. But you see how very competitive this division is, and how difficult it is to win football matches in this division and to collect points. If you see how many clubs maybe underperformed in terms of the results and the points, and to be fair, if you watch the top 10 maybe in the championship and you see all the names, then you think, okay, what one name isn't the right one in this top 10, and this is Huddersfield, and everybody else you maybe think, okay, they have the quality, the financial power, the club size that we expected them there. But we have shown that there is no rule who has to have the right to be in the top six or in the top 10 in the championship. You only have to work hard, find solutions, maybe go different ways. And this is what we've done in this season, and now we like to bring it over the line.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
David Wagner there speaking to Radio Yorkshire's Mark Wilson, ahead of that game at Wolves tonight. Mark Wilson's going to join us in the studio in about 5 minutes' time or so. The Challenge Cup draw is about to take place. So Mark will come in and give us the lowdown. I'm sure he'll give us his opinions on the football as well. Tom, we spoke Huddersfield now, and that's pretty much the championship playoff picture done for our Yorkshire sides. Let's move on and talk about Rotherham, because Rotherham. We mentioned them before, but they got that all-important first victory of 2017.
They won a game of football against another football inside. Mm.
First since the 5th of December against QPR.
Seems forever. Like, they got only like 1 point. 2 points, something like that. Yeah, because they got a point the other week.
Two draws, I think, in 2017 before ridiculous. The weekend.
It's ridiculous. But I feel sorry for Paul Warne, because there's not much he could have done about it. He kind of came into an absolute mess where there's been two managers before him. Kenny Jackett didn't really stick around for long, which obviously says something was going on. And unsurprisingly, they were relegated long ago with quite an embarrassing points tally, but... You know, it's quite nice that they did get a win before the season's over, and it's something for the fans to cheer about, even if it is just 3 points, because they've not really had anything to cheer about this season.
Yeah, interesting game at the weekend, because they go to Preston, but Preston's form at the minute is... they've stunk the gaff out, really, since the defeat by Leeds. To be fair, they played teams in form in... obviously they got beat by Leeds United before their dip. Huddersfield beat them as well. Norwich have been in decent form, and then of course Newcastle securing that promotion back to the Premier League. So it's been tough for Preston, but Rotherham will fancy that going there.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty typical if they now go and finish the season on 3 wins. But yeah, they've got to be some confidence lift in the fact that they have won a game. It's silly that we're sat here kind of saying, oh, well, they've won one game so they can go on and, you know, maybe win another now. But there's got to be some confidence there. They've got nothing to lose anymore. It can't really get any more of an embarrassing season for them. May as well just go for it. They may as well try and get a victory there. I was going to say try and avoid a bit of an embarrassing point, Sally, but they're well beyond that now. And just try and finish the season on a bit of a high going into next season.
Yeah, for me, they have to avoid... conceding 100 goals this season. They're on minus 96, 2 games to go for Rotherham.
Big ask.
It is a big ask. We were talking whether Sheffield United can get 100 points. To concede 100 goals in a season, that is bad. That is embarrassing. And of course, they do have Preston. And then Derby County on the final day of the season. Can they avoid it?
I don't know. I know, especially Derby, who, again, will probably be wanting to finish the season on a high after a bit of a disappointing season for them. Bit of momentum going into next season. I don't know. You want to say no, but their just track record over the last 44 games has shown otherwise.
Sheffield United, if Rotherham are going to concede 100 goals, can Sheffield United in that final game of the season secure 100 points? They face Chesterfield.
Yes, they probably should, shouldn't they, Bramall Lane?
They should.
There you go. If Joe Rawson's still watching that, just remind Chesterfield, bottom of League One. Bottom and relegated. Perfect opportunity. They're a team that are just down and out. Not much going for them. They're probably going to finish bottom of the league. They're already down. The incentive's there to get 100 points. What an achievement that'll be. What an achievement that'll be to finally get promoted in such style as well.
Yeah, but on the other hand, a chance for Ched Evans to impress his prospective new employers. It seems like the transfer's going to go through back to Sheffield United for Ched Evans in the summer. That would be a bit of irony if he was to...
Barely
to
been in the squad, I think, recently. But he wouldn't, would he? Even if he was, it'd be one of those where, funny enough, as a Leeds... Jermaine Beckford seems to do this every time he plays Leeds, where he doesn't seem to score and misses quite blatant chances, quite good chances to score. That I'm pretty sure he'd put away any of
that. That's just a main back.
But...
I don't get it.
I can't see Chesterfield going there. I say this now, they're going to do it. But you're looking at everything. Everything's against them. They've conceded 75 this season. They're going up against Sheffield United, who have just got ridiculous forward line, score so many goals. I think they're on, 89, 90 goals. They'll want to continue that. They'll want to finish on a high as well. What a season they've had. 100 points in front of what's going to be a big home crowd. Be a fantastic way for them to end the season.
Bradford secured their playoff place. 3-0 win over AFC Wimbledon. I think there is a possibility down to 8th with Rochdale. Can still get in the playoffs. Bradford go to Rochdale on the final day. Millwall currently 6th. They could have secured their playoff place at the weekend, but they were beaten by Oxford. Back-to-back defeats now for Millwall. And then Southend obviously still have that squeak there in 7th place at the moment, but have also lost back-to-back games. Nobody wants to finish in that final playoff spot in League One. Southend getting beat by MK Dons and Shrewsbury. Mm-hmm. Bradford, though, securing that playoff place, and having a very good run of form for them. They've only lost 2 out of their last 10. One of those was on Easter Monday in Sheffield United's homecoming to Bramall Lane as champions. And then they were beaten in a close game by Scunthorpe back in March as well. So other than that, it's been a pretty remarkable run. They've only drawn one of those 10 games as well, which is even more amazing.
The revolution is on. We said this before, where that just the sheer lack of losses. They've only lost one more game than Sheffield United this season. We talk about how impressive they have. Okay, they've drawn a lot, but going to have a bit of an advantage going into a playoffs where you're not used to losing. Even draws will help you out. Because, of course, then you fancy them to beat anyone at Valley Parade, unbeaten there all season. Mm. It's going to be, you know, they're going to be a tough team to beat. And like we said, you're looking at that losses. Only lost 7 of their 45 games this season. That's impressive. There's got to be a boost. Got to be a massive boost going into it.
It is huge, isn't it? It just shows that the job that Stuart McCall has done this season. It's always difficult to go in to a club and get everything that you want out of the players in a first season.
Yeah.
But he's managed to do it. And then, obviously, pre-January transfer window, they were struggling to score goals. Recruitment, absolutely spot on.
Yeah.
Brought in 2 players that have added goals to the team in Charlie Wyke and Alex Jones as well. So pretty much everything from Bradford and Stuart McCall and his backroom staff has been absolutely spot on.
Of course, they've picked up Wyke, who's, you know, been great second half of the season as well. The worst case scenario for him would be that kind of the goals would dry up, but he's been firing them in. He's really helped them. And I think that's kind of helped them to get out of that drawing habit. It was weird because when I saw them play Bolton at home, they had probably the best half of football in the first half and probably one of their worst in the second. I think maybe that was kind of the mental thing that was coming in. The amount of games they were drawing, the amount of 2-2 draws they had was just ridiculous. They've got, going back to what we kind of said before, they've got to be confident. I think you've got to go into any playoffs confident, but just the situation they find themselves in, why not? I do really fancy Bradford to come up and probably set up a nice West Yorkshire derby against Leeds next season.
Are Bradford, there's some away from them, the other teams have decent form, and so obviously we spoke about Millwall and their back-to-back defeats. Fleetwood have won 3 in a row. Scunthorpe have got back to form. They've won 4 in a row. So there are some tough tasks ahead in the playoffs, but are Bradford the ones to be feared, given the fact that you said they've only lost 7 games all season?
I think, if you're going to go there and play them, knowing that no one's got much from there this season, it's going to be difficult. And if Bolton drop into it as well, they've not been in the best of form recently. I know an element, we talk about the lottery, the luck element, form's got to play a part. You can't just turn up and go, oh, it's the playoffs, so it doesn't matter that we've lost however many in our last so many games. It's going to come into it. So if Fleetwood go up, who have been a very impressive team, they've got Bolton side, but Bolton side they could probably beat. It's just, of course, you're looking at them at home, knowing that home leg's going to be so crucial. If they can get a good result at home, then, you know, depending whether they play first or second, that's probably what's going to win them. And then at Wembley, if you turn up on the day, you can do it. So, yeah, I don't want to definitely say, yeah, they will do it, but you're going to fancy them more than I think the other teams around them.
In League Two, Doncaster Rovers.
Yes, just don't want it.
Do they want to win this league title?
And just don't want it, do they? They don't seem like they want it.
Now, back-to-back defeats for Doncaster. Losing, of course, to Blackpool on Easter Monday, and then beaten by Wickham at the weekend. It seems Plymouth maybe aren't that bothered either, because they drew 0-0 with Colchester and a chance to go level on points with Doncaster. But yeah, it's since they hit the front, you kind of can draw comparisons with Sheffield United, because they hit the front at about similar time back in late January, early February, when both sides got finally to the top of the league. Sheffield United have gone on, absolutely dominated the division. Like, they're going to secure 100 points at the weekend. For Doncaster, they're still within 2 points of Plymouth in second and 4 points of Portsmouth in third. What's going on, Tom?
They've found themselves in a difficult situation now, because they've now got to play Exeter, who have already secured a playoff place, but will be looking to find a bit of hit the ground running to go into that four, because you find this every year, the League Two playoffs are probably the most lottery of them all. But you still need to, you know, play well and get your team going into it. And then after that, they've got Hartlepool, who, you know, there's a real scenario it could come to the last day of the season of fighting for their Football League survival. That's probably the worst case scenario that you can have. The team that are just going to be absolutely desperate to do everything they can. They've got 90 minutes to save their Football League status. And it's difficult. And then you look at Plymouth, who have got Crewe, who are 17th, and Grimsby, who are 14th. Two teams got nothing to play for. Two teams who are there for the taking. So I said this last week, I think the title can slip away from Doncaster and Plymouth might nick him to it.
Yeah, I've got a bad feeling that they don't win the title. Thanks very much, Tom. Do you think they will?
Are you backing Doncaster to win the title?
Are you backing against them?
I think Plymouth will nick it. I think, like I said, Exeter, Hartlepool, two different teams who need different things for different reasons. Plymouth got two teams who have got nothing to play for.
Indeed. So we shall take a very quick break. We'll have the summary of the Challenge Cup draw very shortly in Rugby League. Mark Wilson will join us for that. We'll have team news as well from Huddersfield Town at Wolves tonight in their game in hand in the Championship's top six. And next we'll talk more news from the Football League. And we've got good days and bad days to squeeze in as well.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back, the FL 72 with Sam and Tom, who is, of course, the editor of the 72.co.uk. And we got more news from the Football League now.
Yes.
So we'll move away from Yorkshire and Newcastle. Finally. They are back in the Premier League. They've done it in style in the end, beating Preston 4-1.
Yes.
And over the course of the season, it's been deserved, but I think a lot of people thought they might have run away with it.
Well, you love a good plucky underdog story of a team with no budget and a local unknown manager who managed to get promotion to Premier League. But now, all joking aside, fantastic, haven't they? Really, they're going to come up much stronger than the team they came down with, and that could, you know, really help them to survive first and foremost in the Premier League. I think that's what they've got to be looking at to go and kick on. They've built a team that were really, you know, going to be for the Premier League, I think, and this season has been a bit of a, you know, we just need to try and get back up as quickly as we can, because really they shouldn't have come down in the first place. But like I said, that's going to be kind of help them in their favour, because you're looking at them and Brighton, you'd fancy them both to stay up next season, you fancy them to do well. So then you've got a case of two other Premier League teams who are going to come down and probably strengthen the Championship in that aspect. But yeah, fully deserved, really. They've been, you know, undoubtedly the second best team after Brighton this season.
Yeah, 100% entertaining Newcastle. And to be fair to them, when they've come down in the past, it's always a difficult task when you're a big team.
Yeah.
But when you've got someone like Rafa Benitez as well, as your manager, who's won the Champions League and he's managed huge clubs, it makes you even more of a scalp.
Yeah, and I think it was a different, it was a bit of a different scenario, because last time they pretty much just kept the team that they had in the Premier League and just hammered everyone and went straight back up as champions. But this time it's been different. They needed to have a bit of a clear out. They sold some good players for some very good money. I think they had, what, 50, 55 million pounds to spend on player sales alone, plus the parachute payments. So, you know, they have spent that money on Premier League quality players. Shelvey, Richie, Dwight Gale. Come on, they're Premier League standard players. They've shown that this season. So, like I said, it's probably made it more difficult, and teams have gone and done it. You're looking at Blackburn. I think they beat them twice, I think, over this season. So it was really a scalp, but they've kind of dealt with that very well. And, you know, even where the games that they haven't got the point, you know, the win, you're looking at that game against Leeds, they absolutely battered Leeds the other week, and Leeds managed to kind of sneak a last-minute equaliser, but, yeah, fully deserved. And you really think they are going to stay up and do quite well in the Premier League and kick on from now.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to watch, just what they do in the summer. Obviously, Rafa Benitez being there, and if he is sticking around, which I think he will, having seen out a championship...
Yeah, I can't imagine he's going to kind of...
...season.
...go now.
Yeah, that he must have assurances that when we get back up into the Premier League, we can spend a bit of money and really compete for top 10, probably, in first season, you would imagine. Whereas Brighton, you know, going to go up probably a similar mould to the likes of Burnley and Bournemouth, keep faith with the team, making some quality additions along the way. But Newcastle, as long as Mike Ashley can loosen the purse strings, you would imagine Rafa will be wanting to spend some money.
Yeah, well, Newcastle don't want to come back down. You know, I'm not one for going, oh, well, the size of the club, because it's, you know, the best team, but they've got one of the best teams, and they, you know, the size of the club, too big for this division. As we've kind of come to know them to be a Premier League standard club, they've just got such a loyal fan base up there. It's ridiculous that they're just so mad about the two and about Newcastle. And again, even from a financial aspect, they don't want to be dropping down to the Championship again. They want to be kind of with the money in the Premier League flying around. It's much easier for them to get there and stay there than, for example, a Leeds, a Huddersfield, etc., who are the, you know, who have been around them. So yeah, again, you'd fancy them to kick on a bit now, to stay, well, hopefully for them, clear of relegation, because they don't want to be coming back down. I'm sure Rafa Benitez doesn't want to be coming back down. He wants to be avoiding that the Championship, and, you know, like I said, maybe top 10, maybe start, progress and really kick on in the years ahead.
Yeah, good luck to Newcastle and congratulations, promoted back to the Premier League. Team news is in, Tom.
Yes.
From Huddersfield Town. They're at Wolves this evening. Four changes for Town.
That's a horrible graphic.
The luminous
they've gone for the
team
kit,
sheet in front of you.
Kit colour, yes. So they made four changes. Scannell, Izzy Brown, Naki Wells and Craney all start. So Ward, Hogg, Scannell, Moy, Craney, Lur, Van La Parra, Wells, Schindler, Brown and Heffler make up the Huddersfield starting 11 for Wolves. A very fancy graphic, actually. They've gone for, not going to blind you. Lonergan in goal, Silvio, Stearman, Baff, Uofa at the back four, Price, Edwards, Gibbs-White, Vyman, Marshall and then Bodfordson up front make up their starting 11. So... Yeah, they're going to want to spoil a bit of a party, much like they did with Leeds. You can't imagine they're going to kind of lie down and just accept defeat.
No, I think they're all playing for futures under Paul Lamb. Obviously, sounds like he wasn't too happy with the draw with Blackburn at the weekend. Six changes Paul Lambert has made for tonight. So, yeah, I imagine the Wolves will be fired up.
Well, the amount of tweets and messages I saw from that Wolves-Blackburn game, which essentially the lines was, we're never getting that 90 minutes back. That's 90 minutes of my life I'll never get back. So, yeah, I think they want to be entertaining and definitely want to get a win.
But congratulations to Wolves, because that is the finest team sheet
it
I've
is.
Seen. You even get a little story
it's,
with it.
It's, yeah, hats off to them. Not like Huddersfield, stop blinding us with your graphics. There you go.
On the bottom end of the Championship, Blackburn getting that draw at the weekend.
Yes, the post-coil era lives
on. Birmingham City now really dragged into it with their defeat to Aston Villa. Just 2 points in it now. I've already predicted Harry Redknapp's not going to win a game as Birmingham manager. Who's going down?
Don't put me on the spot, but Birmingham or Forest to get relegated would really be a massive, massive story. Of course, the club's had the problems, but, you know, with the likes of Burton, the teams down there, Bristol City as well, it'd be kind of upset, especially for Birmingham. If they go down, that's going to be disastrous, considering they were playoffs. they were laughing under Rowett, and it's not the case.
Indeed, it's all turned around. We've got the town team news in. Now let's get the Challenge Cup draw. Mark Wilson joins us in the studio. We got an interesting cup draw, Mark.
We've got a couple of interesting ones. Leeds have got Barrow at home, so they'll be delighted with that. They were first out of the hat. And Wigan, they go to Swinton. So the Swinton, who got that big cup upset, knocking out the Giants, they've got a plum tie. They take on Wigan. They'll be delighted with that. Elsewhere, the Castleford Tigers have been drawn at home to St Helens. There's an All Yorkshire Fair as Featherstone take on Halifax. The Holders Hull have got Catalans at home. Dewsbury take on Wakefield, which is an interesting one. Warrington take on Widnes, and the other tie sees Salford entertaining Hull Kingston Rovers. Ties will be played 13th and 14th of May.
Interesting. Tie of the round for you?
It's a Cass Saints one, isn't it? Should be a cracker. That probably a draw neither of them would have wanted when you look at who's in the hat. But, you know, Hull Catalan is tasty as well, as is Warrington Widnes.
Indeed. In terms of the football, while we've got you in, obviously Leeds United beaten at the weekend. Is it over for you, the playoffs, or do you still have a glimmer of hope that they will make the top?
A glimmer. They need Fulham, obviously, to slip up. And as good as Fulham have been, they also have a bad performance in them. Leeds need it to be this weekend. The disappointment for me was if Leeds would have won, then they would have been chasing all four with Huddersfield's recent form, Reading's form. They would have had a chance to get over any of the top of them, but I think they need snookers, shall we say, but they're relying on Fulham losing at the weekend.
Indeed. Mark, thank you very much. You'll be able to get the full Challenge Cup draw on the website radioyorkshire.co.uk. Listening to the FL72, we'll be back in a few moments' time. It's the original Tom Carndall feature, Good Days, Bad Days on Radio Yorkshire. We were going to bring you a new feature tonight. Tom goes hobnobbing. He was on the red carpet yesterday.
I was.
And we had an interview with Howard Wilkinson all lined up to play, but we are out of time. I asked him, what would you rather do, play the Howard Wilkinson interview or hear your own voice?
And chose my own voice. Yeah, well, tomorrow... RadioYorkshire.co.uk, all the interviews from yesterday. Howard Wilkinson, Gary McAllister, the lot, everyone. Check it out.
Nice, yeah, good to see that.
Good plug.
Good fast work there, getting the taking 48 hours to get the interviews onto the website.
Wow, all right, come on. Whoa.
Right, we are running out of time, so let's do Good Days, Bad Days for this week. Starting off in the Championship.
Good day. I'm going to take it slow because I can. Good day for Fulham. They hammered, battered promotion rivals Huddersfield Town, securing 9-1 aggregate victory this season. That's just ridiculous. Bad day for Ipswich Town. They lost to Rotherham, who just haven't won since the dawn of time. So they're the bad day. League One. Good day for Fleetwood Town. 92nd minute winner keeps their automatic promotion hopes alive. And that 3-2 away win at Gillingham going into the last game, of course, in League One this weekend. Bad day for Southend. They're a point off the playoffs now after falling to a 1-0 defeat to Shrewsbury Town, who I think are pretty much safe in the division. League Two. Good day for Exeter City. They pretty much secured a playoff place on goal difference after a 3-1 victory over Morecambe on Saturday. That depends if they do lose their two games. The teams below them just hammer the teams they're playing. Bad day for Hartlepool. The 2-0 defeat to Barnet sees them 2 points away from safety. Just two games remaining. That is good days, bad days for this week.
Well done, Tom.
Thank you.
Very good. Yes, that is good days, bad days for this week. Tom, we've still got a few little bits to tie up. Now we're not playing Howard Wilkinson. Leighton Orient, they are down.
They're down. 112-year stay in the Football League. It's over. And it's pretty much down to poor management at the top. It's a very sad story. Very sad story for them that it really could have been avoided, but they're a club going nowhere. The staff aren't getting paid on time. It's just, you know, it's a really sad story.
Do you think they'll survive? Isn't they in danger of potentially going out of business with all those problems behind the scenes with the ownership?
Until the league actually step in and do something, then probably not. They keep just saying, oh, such a shame, it's such a shame, putting out statements that they're not doing anything about it. They kind of just sat back and putting out statements saying, we don't agree with this. Well, you know, there's got to be some form of protection in there that avoids this scenario from happening. And it's kind of a bit too late now. It's too late because they're already relegated and it's just so difficult to get back in with only two promotion places to go for in the National League.
Port Vale, they could be relegated this evening, yes, from League One into League Two. They go to Walsall and pretty much they're 4 points adrift. It is going to take a bit of a minor miracle for them to survive.
Yeah, Michael Brown, of course, at Port Vale. I think much like his playing career, I think the only way he can solve this is just by kicking things, but there we go. Real trouble. They could drop down. And again, it's not nice for any team to see relegation, but the teams, you're looking at Shrewsbury Town, who've just kind of really turned it on and managed to survive. So, yeah, could be relegated with defeat away tonight.
A bit harsh. What's Michael Brown ever done to you?
Kick me. allegedly.
Paul, they are, of course, in danger of dropping out of the Football League,
yes,
alongside Leyton Orient. Jeff Stellinado rant, so Dave Jones is off as manager. Two games to go. They'll survive, but really it's them or Newport County, really.
Difficult to say. Good time to make a managerial change, I suppose. Maybe that can give them the boost they need with just two games to go, and of course a massive game against Doncaster on the last game of the day of the season.
Yeah, I think a few people will be watching Soccer Saturday and enjoying that. Maybe not enjoying it.
He won't be there. He'll be managing Hartlepool.
Most likely. That is us pretty much out of time for the FL 72. Tom Maguire is next with the evening show. Thanks for listening.